It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Some questions just don't have answers. That would have taken hard work and vision, probably, for me to stay in school. That's when I wanted to get out and start doing this. Here I am. Wow, look at that. Nate Geary, everyone.
Hello.
Nate Geary sitting in the saddle today, filling in for Mike Shope. Today and Thursday, we've got Nate down off golf's Mount Olympus.
Oh.
To
the highest of highs.
To hang with us mere mortals, us mere Delaware Park members. It's good to see you, bud. How's summer treating you? Yeah, well.
That's it. It's going well.
Why did I ask? At least you didn't hold your foot up.
I can if you want me to.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't want you to do
okay.
that.
Well, no. I just didn't know, you know, what the situation was, how you were feeling about
it. How am I? Am I?
It's not you. You're more of a morning golfer guy. I'm dead of the afternoon golfer guy.
Yeah,
so
I also boat day. Finally. We had a boat day. As scary as it may sound. If kids are in the car, cover their ears. I was shirtless for part of the day Sunday. So
you get a nice...
I think I evened out.
This shirt hasn't come off in the sun. Well, it came off once in the lake during 4th of July weekend. Might have been definitely triple digit days since the last time the chest and back have seen sunlight.
Well, it's nice to have you here.
It's good to be here.
And James Cook, everyone, holding in now.
Yeah.
And we have a running back contract. How comparable it is up for everyone else to decide along with us. Like, we can all decide whether we think it's comparable or not. Zach just told you the details on that. Kyren Williams of the Los Angeles Rams today had a 3-year, $33 million deal with $23 million guaranteed. One of the key stats in the whole thing, it's not just the yards and the touchdowns. He's on the field close to 90% of Rams snaps. He is a true three-down back. He is not Saquon Barkley. He's not that explosive, but he is useful in every area of their
game.
Very
productive.
So he never leaves the field.
Yep.
And, you know, he plays almost twice as much as James Cook plays. James Cook last year was 48%. I shouldn't have to force that, but whatever. It's a significant gap in playing time and usage, and that has always been really, to me, at the crux. I don't know what the Bills' stance is and their reluctance to get anywhere near really James Cook's asking price, but I think usage would be a good place to start. It would be my first guess that that's a thing that they would sit across the table and say, like, you don't play 50% of our snaps, and we like it that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to pay you in kind with that. We're not going to pay you a top-of-the-market contract because you're not a back that gets used that way. And, like, they're in charge of that. He might say, I could do it. And they can say, but we don't want you to.
Yeah.
You're good this way. We're good with you this way. And, like, that's how it is.
I also think, like, Jeremy and I were just in each other's comments about this, right? And I posted the last two seasons of yardage outputs for James Cook and for Kyren Williams, and they're very comparable. Kyren Williams has got a little bit better in terms of just total yards, carries, touchdowns, all that kind of stuff. And Jeremy was like, you know, that Kyren Williams' rush yards over expected were far less than James Cook. And it's like, I don't think anyone's pulling that number out and using that as a negotiation tactic. Much like if an NHL player goes to arbitration, they're being judged on goals, assists, points, not wins over, you know, expected or, you know, goals over expected, five on. Like, those are great advanced metrics as a, you know, roster building tool. But I don't think, you know, anybody's going to take certain, like, a stat like that, an advanced stat, as like a negotiation tactic of, this is why I'm better than this player.
Right.
The proof is sort of in the pudding.
I think they're, I mean, I'm one guy. I've sat and studied Kyren Williams, but I think I would, if I were starting a team, if I had a game to play tomorrow and I got to choose a running back and those are the two dudes I can decide from, I think I might take Cook. Like there's more breakaway, there's more big play potential there.
Yes.
So in a way, I think it's almost fair to say or even argue Cook is the better player, the better athlete, the guy you'd want more, but the other guy does more and is on the field more, and that matters too, I guess, to the whole equation. And I don't know that James Cook could handle a workload like a guy like Kyren Williams is handling and be like actually on the field for, you know, the majority of the football games. So I would always worry about that. And I'm just I'm really curious to see what there's been 2 days in a row now reporting that to me sort of flies in the face of what Brandon Bean sounded like to my ears yesterday morning with Jeremy and Joe. I did not hear all of his appearance on One Bills Live, but I doubt that the theme changed much. Tom Pelissero yesterday, and we've got Diane Rossini today reporting that their information is that the gap between Cook and the Bills is not that large. And so, you know, that sort of gets fans clamoring, like, oh, if it's not that big a gap, why don't you just finish it off?
Yeah.
And I said to Sal yesterday, and I have no idea if this is right, this is not to question the reporting. I just wonder who's giving that information to Tom Pelissero and Dan Rossini, because
I don't think it's the general manager.
Right, no, it's almost absolutely not the general manager, and Bean, to me, doesn't sound like he thinks they're close. Now, he might just be playing cards that way publicly, and that's fine. That wouldn't be unprecedented at all for a GM. It's really kind of par for the course. But I would understand if Cook's camp is trying to get word out there that it's not that far apart, even if it is.
It is, yeah, right.
Just to get everything roiling here, right? Hard knocks and just everything, all the attention. Like, you know, the pressure starts to change from, oh, don't pay a running back this much. Oh, his usage is this or that. If the gap doesn't seem big, I think the fans, many times, even though they usually side with the team immediately, I feel like they would swing over to Cook's side, like, oh, they should be able to get this done. Like, so whatever external pressure is worth, I think that is being exerted on the Bills right now. Again, I'm guessing about the source of those reports that they're not that far apart, being player-driven, agent-driven. But either way, I think it makes even someone who might be on the fence about it or not feeling a great deal of urgency about Cook could make you feel like, come on, just get it done. What are we talking about now? Are we talking about a million a year, a half a million? Are we talking about three more million guaranteed? What is it? Like, find a way to bridge it. But I myself still don't feel, I don't know, urgency really at all. I don't think Cook really has any cards to play. He's playing the only card he's got right now, I think.
And he played it weirdly late.
Weirdly, yeah.
And already, like, to show up for the first 8 days of practice and then to say, well, now I'm going to draw the line, and then for the reports from Rossini and from Tom Pelissero saying, well, you know, maybe this is more of a, hey, we're close, and while we're close, I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I could potentially get hurt. I just think, yeah, it's weird timing. I saw a report from Adam Schefter that talked about a lot of league people think that the Kyren Williams contract had to happen first as sort of a template for where the Bills could potentially go with James Cook. I would imagine most people agree, not just people in Buffalo, but most people agree that if you were given the choice between Kyren Williams and James Cook, you'd rather have James Cook. And that means something. But stats also matter. And he's, you know, 100 more carries over the last 2 years. 86% of the snaps versus like 47%.
Right.
I mean, that's a big number. And listen, I mean, it's different offenses, it's different scenarios. It's hard to just do a 1v1, but I think it's way more in the realm of where I think the league views James Cook, where the Bills definitely view James Cook. And listen, I think I heard Joe Marino talk about this on his podcast yesterday. Give, you know, his agent the opportunity to go seek a trade. Go see what you're worth now.
I saw Joe say that too.
And I kind of like the point, because you're going to wait a year and you're either going to have the same or similar production this year. You know, there's a lot of scenarios that can play out. It's not just one or two options or scenarios that can play out for James Cook this year. But go find out what you're worth right now. go see if you can conjure up some interest in a potential trade, and go see what your potential contract extension with interested parties look like. And then see where you are, because I think right now how Brandon Bean likely views James Cook is probably not all that different than how the other 31 mm-hmm. general managers in the NFL view him. And I don't think that there is a wide gap. I would say there's a closer gap between Kyren Williams and James Cook than there is between James Cook and Saquon Barkley. I think that there is a mm-hmm. far closer comparison point
sure.
to be made there.
Oh, that contract, like, look, I'm not eager to do anything with James
Cook. I don't think they have to.
That's kind of where I have been all spring and summer. I would cop to a bit of what I already just sort of described. Like, oh, well, if it's close, you know, well, here's another running back. It prompts you to want to leave your stance by the wayside and just, okay, team harmony, just get everyone together, Super Bowl or bust, and all that. But I don't know. I have not been on August 5th. I'm not that worried about James Cook not practicing right now. I'm not. Like, I think this is a situation that I think will resolve itself if the Bills don't do anything. Because I don't think he has a move after this.
He's going to play. He's not going to not play games.
The only question is, what does it do to the team, if anything, right? Does it hurt the morale of the team? Does James Cook, like, if he... Does it change something about how he approaches his work and what he wants to do and all of that? But I'm not eager to do anything. Could I live with that contract? Like, if the Bills announce during our show today, they've reached an agreement on something close to that, 30 yep. million, 35, somewhere in the ballpark, right, on a three-year extension. Like, okay, I get it. I didn't need it.
Don't need it. Yeah,
I didn't need it, but okay, fine. Hopefully he continues to produce at the level he's produced at least last year anyway. The touchdown explosion last year has also been a thing that would worry me. Kyren Williams is 2 years running in the teens in touchdowns, I think. The numbers are 14 and 15, I think, the last two years. You just said you tweeted those stats. I saw them earlier. I didn't memorize them. But Cook has got the 1 year so far of his career where suddenly he was scoring touchdowns like crazy. And, you know, he's only 3 years into his career, so it's not like there's a ton of a body of work to judge him on. But I would not want to buy a new contract for a player on what could be an outlier season touchdown-wise.
I think that's also something to consider, too, is if your opinion and, you know, how much different is his value if the Bills decided in those red zone situations to turn around and hand the ball off to Ray Davis? Or if Josh Allen has six more rushing touchdowns and instead of 16, James Cook has 10? Again, it's sort of this weird balance between how do you place a numerical value to someone at the running back position, and, you know, can you use at the wide receiver position? Is anyone pulling hairs and threading needles over, you know, what the average depth of target for T. Higgins was? No, that's not really what happens. I don't believe that's what happens in these negotiations. So your value is as good as your value to the team that wants to pay you. And again, maybe the Texans in the offseason decide, we're going to pay $15 million to a running back. We're going to pay $16 million to James Cook. You are more valuable to us than you mm-hmm. are to the Bills. And I think there's a real argument to be made that he is the second most valuable player on the offensive sure. side of the ball outside of Josh Allen. Like, outside of Josh, the guy who can generate the biggest plays the most consistently has been James Cook. Oh, especially, definitely last year, but even the year before where he had more yards.
But last year for me was the year where he developed. I feel like
the
I
inside
read
some, running game.
Well, yeah. I think there was just more explosiveness. He ran away from people last year, and I felt like that was a new element to his game. I did not see him as a guy that was running away from people prior to last year. And I think the work he did in the offseason heading into the 24 season probably had something largely to do with that. But that's a facet of his game. That is the maybe the biggest value you've got. Is, you know, I know, you know, in here, I have been banging the table for 5 years about needing more speed on the team. And so it maybe doesn't sound like it lines up all that smartly to be banging the table for 5 years about a need for speed on the team and not be interested in paying the fastest guy. I mean, he's not faster than Curtis Samuel, but come on, like Curtis Samuel's not getting the ball in the backfield on this team. At least he didn't barely at all last year. And we thought maybe that was going to happen when he got here, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy enough to do it. So he's a weapon. He's a speed weapon. He's an explosive weapon. He's a house call on long runs that, again, just last year that sort of came to the surface in his game. But again, all that put together, I like him at the price he's at. I could pay more than that, but I'm not eager to do it. And I haven't been all along. So I'm sort of in a weird place because I'm not going to freak out if they get something done with him. I mean, good. Everybody agreed and everyone is friends and happy and that's fine. But I've never been worried about him not playing. I think he's going to play. And then I'm fine just kind of, running him out and replacing him with somebody else next year.
Yeah.
That's a little flippant. I don't know, but
It's hard to be in the, era we are in with running backs because we're back on the upward trend of the curve where 2 years ago we were on the downward trend of the curve and it bottomed out last offseason or two off seasons ago before Saquon Barkley ultimately gets signed and then all of a sudden DeAndre Swift gets signed and a couple of players
Josh Jacobs got signed.
Okay, this isn't fully dead. Josh Jacobs talking about, they're talking about a union within the union for running backs. I mean, that's where we were 18 months ago. And I think probably if the Overton window was 18 months later, the Bills would be in a position where it's $8 million. Yeah, whatever. Let's get this signed and whatever. We'll be the team that pays a running back $8 million. Who cares? But I also think that recency bias, not just for James Cook, but the running back position in general. You look at Philadelphia, they go out and sign the running back, and it's kind of the thing that gets them over the hump, right? Or at least conceptually, they signed the best running back in football. They went from being a team that lost a Super Bowl a few years ago and then kept – now they win a Super Bowl, right? You kind of have a guy that you think is pretty darn good in-house, but you also haven't won a Super Bowl or gotten to a Super Bowl with him here. So if the argument is, look what the Eagles did. They paid a running back and they got to and won a Super Bowl. Well, I've had this guy on my roster the last 2 years, and that hasn't been the difference between us getting to a Super Bowl or even winning or even getting to one.
And furthermore, he's not even on the field on the most important drives of the end of the end of the AFC Championship game. Now you can, again, call out the Bills for managing their game day roster that way and making those choices. But I think if they trusted James Cook to do the things that they trust Ty Johnson to do, then they would have James Cook do them. And we would not be talking about 47% snap share. We'd be talking about something closer to maybe 65 or 70. And then, then I'm inching closer to that $15 million number. If I've got a guy that's performing and he's on the field that much more, there's going to be, what is that? What would that be? Would that be 15 or 20 more catches, maybe, right? More carries, more production, more of everything. I doubt it would mean more touchdowns. It's hard for me to conceive of anything meaning more touchdowns for a guy that scored 16 last year. But still, that's the, that's the thing. It's maybe he feels like the Bills have, with intent, limited what, he would cost because of how they use him. But he's also not, 6'3 and 220 pounds.
That's right. And I also think, this conversation is difficult to have because it sounds like we're both on the he doesn't matter, running backs don't matter train. When I do think he is going to be, whenever, if the situation gets to a point where he plays this year out and then he goes and leaves in free agency, he's not going to be someone that you can just easily replace. The production itself is probably replaceable, but the type of player he is, the speed aspect that you talked about kind of seeing really develop and turn into, I think, a legitimate weapon for the offense last year, that's what people are more concerned about losing. Is I think there's a really good argument to be made that if James Cook doesn't play this year, which I think nobody's under the impression he won't, but let's just say he doesn't, I think there's a very good argument to be made that you could replace the production with two players. The problem is not necessarily the volume production, it's the big play potential. And they just don't have on the roster right now in their passing game, they don't have a Tyreek Hill. They don't have an Xavier Worthy. They don't have a
house call guy.
They don't. Their house call guy is their running back. And I think in the NFL, there are only a handful of those players that exist, right? It's Saquon Barkley. Still, somehow, at his age and his size, it's still Derrick Henry. I mean, is there another one?
Achane? Devon Achane? Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the speed there is elite.
So part of the volume stats you're using for or against your argument, it's almost, too, you have to recognize what type of player is, and there are very few of his style or capabilities. You can replace the volume. It's not the volume I'm concerned about. It's just the big play threat. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's the position I don't envy Brandon Bean to be in, but they're in it. And I don't know that this hold-in needs to mean anything. I was joking last Sunday when I was at St. John Fisher and I was on the air. I said to Joe Marino and Anthony Prochaska from Cover One when I had them on, I was like, well, you guys want to do the obligatory, should we talk about James Cook for a quick? No, okay, we don't have to talk him. Fine. You know, it just right. feels like we've all been trying to make a situation out of it that he wasn't really trying to make it out of, and then we all stopped talking about it.
And then he
acted. And then you know, the other thing, too, is I wonder if the cameras aren't there for Hard Knocks, is this happening?
Mm-hmm. I wondered about that right away.
Yeah.
But that is not at all to say that I thought he would wait until eight practices into
still
camp
doesn't.
To suddenly stop practicing.
They knew the cameras were going to be there a month and a half ago.
But, you know, here we are. 803-0550 is the number. Let's get a call in here in this first segment. Dennis is first up today on WGR. Hi, Dennis. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. So, you know, I've been listening to this for a few days. It's been something that kind of irks me a little bit. I agree with Bulldog. I think I agree with you 100%. And the one area that I would disagree with Nate is like being able to find the replacement, because of the player that he is you can find an explosive running back. What you can't find is a guy that can play three downs like Saquon Barkley and pass protect, which is probably the hardest part of that position to play, to be honest. I mean, if you're an explosive running back and you can play in the NFL, in this system, you can replace James Cook because you have other guys that can do the hardest part of being a running back. So that's just my opinion there. I mean, if you look at the starting running backs in the NFL, I think one of the things that can be easily overlooked is the pass blocking. But of the starting running backs out of 32 guys, he's 31st in the league, only in front of Bucky Irving, who only started for half the games last year. He is an absolute liability in pass protection. And so when we talk about third downs, but you could even go to second down. When it's second down and 10 and he comes off the field, teams are scouting. They have a robust scouting department that know when one player's on the field, when one player's off the field, what the tendencies are when one player's on, when one player's off. If James Cook is coming off the field constantly on second and long and third and long, it just makes scouting a lot easier. There's just a lot that he leaves lacking. And if we just let him go, I feel like you can draft a guy that can be explosive and play on first and second down as long as you have somebody that can fill his spot, you know, for third down. And, you know, the first down guy is only, if you draft him next year, he's making $2 million. You know, I just think from a GM standpoint, you just got to be really smart. I know they're trying to be, but I just don't think he's worth it.
All right, Dennis, appreciate the call. That's basically where I am. Like, I do like the player and I like the skill set, use the way he's used, but I don't want to pay the amount he wants to be paid to use him that way. And I don't want to change how I use him. As I like the other, I like the compliments they have. I think Ty Johnson is an excellent third down back at this point.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know about where Ray Davis's ceiling is. His ceiling might be Devin Singletary. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this team's results, like to your point early on in this conversation, this team's results have not changed.
No.
From Devin Singletary through Zach Moss for a little bit to James Cook, they've I mean, they run it more now than they used to.
Yep.
But even Cook is not necessarily running it more than Singletary did.
Not much.
It's still a timeshare. He's more productive than Singletary. He's the best guy they've ever had. But that doesn't mean I want to pay him a market rate contract.
Yeah, and it hasn't resulted in their offense. Their offense was third last year, second the year before, first the year before. Like, it kind of hasn't mattered statistically or in the win columns necessarily who their running back is or what style of running back. I think you can look at it and say, for me, I like the style that James Cook brings, which is my hesitancy to say, okay, well, Ray Davis is going to walk in and have the same production. Maybe he will, but it won't be the style I'm looking at this offense wanting to have back there. But, you know, listen, we're talking Notre Dame running backs with Kyron Williams. There's going to be a really good one. There's going to be like three really good ones in the draft next year, you know. Julian, I'm just saying.
803-0550 is the number if you want to get in like Dennis did. We're talking about James Cook again. There's a new running back contract in the league today. Kyron Williams of the Rams signs for 3 years, $33 million total, $23 million of that said to be guaranteed. Is that make you, you know, all the more hot and bothered to get something done? Are you still at, I don't want to pay that even? It's less than Cook is thought to be asking. Anyway, we'll get into that as we continue. Marcel Louis-Jacques, our old buddy, used to cover the Bills for ESPN.com. He's been on the beat in Miami now for quite a few years. We'll get him on with us at 4 o'clock. I'm excited about that. I know you and he go back, Nate, so I'm excited that worked out today. For him to be on, and then Sal will join us at 5 for his thoughts on, you know, today's version of the James Cook, I'm going to say story. I almost said saga, and then I would have had to pull the show over and find it. 803-0550 is the number. Nate Geary's in for Mike today. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
I think Cook is unique in his vision and his elusiveness, and that's captured in a stat. He was contacted behind the line of scrimmage at the second lowest rate of any back in football last year, behind only Jahmyr Gibbs. Ray Davis was 17th. And I think that's really important because not only is he a home run hitter, he helps keep this offense on time. Look, the Bills do not have a group of world beaters at receiver. They have an all-world quarterback, but they also have a dominant run game. And I don't like the idea of taking Cook out of this group because I thought he was exceptional last year. And you saw him really develop, particularly when it came to that vision.
That is the great Mina Kimes of ESPN talking about a guy we can't stop talking about ourselves, which is James Cook, that had sort of settled down. I recorded a FanDuel show with our buddy Andrew Filippone on Friday afternoon, in which I said the James Cook story has become a nothing burger. And by the time that aired on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, he was holding in, and I felt kind of stupid because I thought the story was non-existent. Now it's a story again. I don't know. I don't feel stressed out about it myself. I think eventually he'll just come in even without a new contract. But maybe this Kyron Williams thing, there is some reporting out there that indicates that maybe this was a deal that the Bills, maybe more so the Bills side, were waiting to see, like, to prove to James Cook, like, look, here's a comparable player, yep, similar age, all right? And
similar production,
right, same similar draft production class.
Yeah.
Here's, you know, here, look at the numbers, and, you know, the usage point, I think, would tilt in the Bills' favor. So they waited out, and maybe now we'll get a deal. Again, a couple of different national reporters have indicated that they're not that far apart. I'm still skeptical about that because Bean, to me, just, I don't know. I guess the first time he would go on the air somewhere and say, oh, no, we're close, would be the first time
he's ever done it.
Because he just doesn't do that.
Every contract signing has come with
it's done now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the most you heard or the most, like, the biggest glimpse you got about negotiations was, yeah, we signed the other three guys because, like, we had to turn our attention there. We were all pretty close and realistic about where we were going to be. The other guy's not. Like, the other guy is, we are not close.
Right.
And that has sort of been the most consistent message we've heard about these negotiations, is they prioritize the guys that they felt wanted to sign contracts that made sense. And I will say this, it was going to come a time where Brandon Bean wasn't going, like, he's on a, if Howie Roseman doesn't exist, Brandon Bean's probably the second, I mean, there's such a gap between Roseman and everybody else in this conversation, but like the Benford contract looks like a freaking steal. The Rousseau the Ed Oliver contract looks like a steal at this point. So I feel like eventually we were going, there had to come a time. I guess I'm not surprised it's running back, but there had to come a time where his, I mean, he's on a Hall of Fame contract extension
bender
right now. And like eventually that was going to, and like you even heard him allude to, he's like, I've been doing this 9 years. It's the first time I've ever had a dispute where a guy's not practicing. And like that, I wonder how much that was in the back of his head in a lot of this, which was like, we don't, our guys don't get to this point. We lock them up early, but really from the start, if there was contention, maybe some of it was in the public and on social media, not with direct words, but more implications. If there was contention, it did sort of feel like it was coming from Brandon Bean. Like the, this guy's got to figure it out because, I mean, he's in la-la land
right
now.
And to me, he still sounds very much like he has sounded the whole time. You know, if we don't get, you know, look, we don't get something done now, which it doesn't preclude us from doing
something. We don't
know
if they've actually been close for 3 months.
Right.
Or 3 days or 3 hours. I don't.
I'm struggling with that. Again, I don't want to, I should stop just asserting it because it's going to sound like I know it to be true or something, but I just would not be surprised if that's coming from the player side. They're close, so that creates urgency to get it done. And it's on the Bills to get it done. And so I don't know. I don't necessarily think Bean would have sounded much different yesterday. But my vibe is still, you know, they're willing to let him play it out. They probably are willing to do what they did with Poyer a few years ago, even though Poyer was a much older player by the time that it happened. Like you know, play it out. Go to the market. You know, like you're suggesting Joe Marino even doing that ahead of time. Like, let him go find out what the market is now, even. But I think at the very least, I think the Bills would be willing to let him go test the market. And if some team out there wants to blow him away, well, okay then. You know, you're probably not going to be in as good a situation. You might be getting asked to do more, and you might break down. But whatever, you'll get the bag. And, you know, I respect the guy wanting to get the bag. Like, I'm not... By the way, I don't know if it sounds at all like I am. I'm not the least bit upset with James Cook doing what he's doing. This is the game.
We are not haters.
This is how the game goes.
Yep.
So he should try to get what he can get. I'm over here looking out for the team going, don't go too far. Just do not go too far. Because at some point you may actually want to pay some receivers to be like better than just, you know, everybody eats. But we'll see about that. 803-0550 is the number. Zoe is up first this segment. Hi, Zoe. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Sure.
First and foremost, you know, I'm not mad at what Cook's doing. I understand it. He's a dynamic player. He's a different player. Like, from an offense and defense, to look at it, like how Von Miller was back in the day when he played for the Broncos, he had that different bend to him that everybody else really couldn't do. James Cook has that bend where he can aim for the six hole and still break it out to the outside, to the corner, and you still can't beat him to the edge. He have a good feel of angles. So you can seal the edge off and he still could beat you to the edge and get 4 or 5 yards. That's something that really cannot be taught. And that's something you kind of don't want to give away to anybody else. He showed up, you know, when he could have still did his negotiation thing. And another thing people might not be looking at as New York State. You know, they said they gave him close. I heard a rumor they gave him about, they offered him $13 million. If he takes that $13 million with the New York State tax, he might end up with 10. And then he paid his agent, he ended up with 8.5. So him going up higher around 15 to keep him in that double-digit market to have in his pocket seemed realistic. I remember Poyer talking about that, why he went to another team because of the taxes. You know, Josh Allen got a big contract with the big headline. He got hit for $27 million in taxes. That's about to be more than James Cook contract. So it's a lot of things to understand why he's going that way too, because a lot of money's still going to be taken away from him. And another thing that I thought about too was there's other players, big time players, is willing to come here now. They like the culture, you know, teams, players is leaving and they love what they're hearing back from these players. And we have an MVP quarterback, Parsons. He want to come here. He said he'll take a pay cut. I think James Cook hearing that and other players want to come here, he's like, well, let me hold down and get my money before he get his money. You got the other players, yep, they're going to take pay cuts, and I'm sure the Bills is not going to hesitate to sign Parsons if you tell him taking a pay cut. So let me step back before he get his money before I will. And I think that played a little bit of a role too, that, you know, we're not looking at too. So
sure, yeah. So there could always be things that there definitely are things that we are not privy to. Thank you very much for the call. You raised some very interesting points. Look, the tax situation is a real thing.
Yep. But I'm not sure it's direct. Yeah.
I'm not going to make. I mean, I'm not saying that James Cook isn't thinking about it when he's asking for the amount he's asking for. I just don't think it's realistic to expect the Bills to overpay for anyone at this point. They're the Bills. They do not have to overpay anyone to come here anymore because Josh Allen's their quarterback. Everyone else is signing reasonable market rate contracts here, and Cook wants to be paid like someone he simply is not. We like him. He's explosive. We've already laid out all the stuff, but he is not a player that warrants being paid in the top two or three at the position at all.
Under Brandon Bean, I don't believe they have reset the market on any contract except even quarterback. Josh did not reset the quarterback market. He was like the second or third highest, and he mentioned not wanting to be there and wanting to give the team some extra space and felt like he got what he was worth.
The first time they did Trey White, they might have, like for a day, and then maybe someone else signed right after him, like Jalen Rand. I feel like there was a day where Trey White was up there, but then other stuff happened.
I guess where I'm going with this too is, this is twofold. I don't blame James Cook at all for being the outlier to say, well, I'm not taking a hometown discount. Because I know that Terrell Bernard, Greg Brousseau, Ed Oliver, Christian Medford, all these guys took probably less than they could have gotten on the open market. By the way, T. Higgins did that. T. Higgins could have probably gotten close to what Jamar Chase got on the open market, but decided not to take the hometown discount, what have you. Here's the difference. Here's why I don't blame James Cook at all for saying, I'm not going to take the hometown discount. He's probably not getting a third contract.
Well, that's right. Running back.
Whether it's here or anywhere, he's not going to ever be in a situation better than he is right now if Terrell Bernard in 2 years got cut. If Matt Milano ends up being the last year that he plays for the Bills, he's going to go get 11, 12, 13 million next year by, the Chargers or someone. When James Cook's contract's over, or the Bills decide when it's over, if he gets an extension, that contract's going to be nowhere near $13, $14, $15, $16 million.
Right.
So I think you have to also understand that the lifetime of these contracts for Christian Benford, for Terrell Bernard, for Gregory Rousseau at more premium positions are not going to look like this when they expire for James Cook. And that, to me, is probably more of a reason, less about taxes and more about, like, we don't get third contracts as running backs. Right. We just don't.
Cook's opportunity to get the contract of a lifetime is right now.
Yeah.
Or next spring.
Yes.
Whatever. But like at this age right now.
A nine-month window.
If he gets Kyron Williams' contract, he's, 28 when it ends. 29 is that season begins, I think. And, nobody's paying that guy in the teens.
Nobody wants to pay 29-year-old wide receivers.
He'll be in the league if he wants to be, but he's not going to get that. Like the dough is now. This second contract for a running back is all there is to it, really, when it comes down to it. 803-0550. Thank you for the call, Zoe. Appreciate it very much. 803-0550. Marcel Louis-Jacques on the Dolphins coming up at the top of the hour. Sal Capaccio at 5. Nate Geary's in for Mike today. I'm the Bulldog. This is WGR.